So this morning, I have a very interesting topic to talk about, and it's what's eating you? What's going on deeper inside of you? What are the issues that you wrestle with, that you struggle with when nobody else is aware or knows about it? These are not the issues that you see on the people's face when you meet them, because we get together and we smile and we say, "How are you?" And everybody says, "Fine," right? Which is one of the greatest lies that you speak most of the time. And so today I want to talk about those issues that eat us inside, that drive us crazy, that cause disruption deep within us and drains us of energy. And I want to do it in the context of the sacrament of communion. Because communion is really a healing meal. It's a meal that Jesus gave his disciples for a reason. And he says, whenever you do this, remember me. And we have communion for a specific purpose, which is to connect us once again to who Christ is and to receive healing that comes from his presence in our midst as we break the wine, or break the bread and share the wine. Communion helps us at three specific levels. The spiritual level, you know, those thoughts about spirituality and the big questions of life. It helps us on a mental level, that sense of who we are and whose we are. And it helps really clarify that, because lots of people are not quite sure who you are and whose you are. And it helps us on an emotional level. And the emotions are all those things that we encounter and feel as we journey in life. On the average day, most people don't know this, but you will go through 10 to 15 emotional states in one day alone. And the question is, how do we find greater health? How do we find greater wholeness on a spiritual, emotional, and mental basis? And I want to suggest to you that one of the key gifts that God has given us through Christ is the healing power that comes in communion. It's a great story that I read about three physicians that are sitting around talking, and they were asking this question: what is the primary contributor to sickness in people? What's the primary factor? What's the main reason why people become ill? And one of the physicians says, well, it's because of what people eat. They eat the wrong stuff. If they'd only eat the right stuff, they wouldn't be sick. The second physician said, no, it's not that so much as they eat too much of the stuff that they shouldn't eat. They eat way more food than they need. And we become overweight, and all of those things contribute to the factor. And the third physician said, no, I don't agree with you at all. The thing that contributes to the sickness of most people is not what they eat or not how much they eat, but what is eating them. And so I want to talk about what is eating you. What's going on deeper inside? Everybody has issues that stir inside. And they eat us as sure as this crocodile's eating this turtle. And they just gnaw at us inside. And they cause incredible distress. And usually that distress is seen and acted out in unhealthy behavior. What are some of these things? Well, there's lots of them. And everybody doesn't have all these, and you might have different things that are unique and special to you, but everybody has issues inside. Might be your inner struggles, struggling with life and how you think life is supposed to unfold and it's not unfolding, or you hit the challenges of life and you lose people that you love and it causes distress. Sometimes it's doubt, that doubt that we have in our faith, in our spirituality, and we go, you know, is God really the God of all creation? Is God real, or is it just a figment of our imaginations? Or sometimes people doubt themselves. They don't have a sense of who they are. For others, it's inner fears. Fears about the future. Fears about what may unfold. For others still, it's hurts. And some of those hurts can come from way back in the past. We know that sometimes some of the deep issues inside of us come from many, many years ago. Some even from as early as your childhood. And even though you're 70 or 80 or 40 or 50, those childhood wounds, those issues from way back then begin to stir inside and eat you up. For others, it's things like past failures and mistakes, something that you did that you knew hurt somebody else, or something that happened back in your past that you are regretful for. And then there's things like bitterness that people have, bitterness that, you know, I don't have as much money as I want, or life's not the way it should be, or revenge. I just want to get even. Ever know anybody just wants to get even? Somebody hurt you, and you just want to see them hurt like you hurt. And for others still, it's things like resentment and guilt. And all of these things are the things that gnaw deep within. It's the things that create our addictions, and we try to quiet all these inside eating things by overeating, overdoing something, some behavioral thing. And they all come from a deep sense of sin. And sin is really a sense of self-centeredness. It's about when we believe that I am the most important thing in life. Comes back from the Old Testament, first chapter, was that temptation, the eating of the apple. It's when we say, I know what's best for me. There is nobody here that knows what's right for Lyle more than me. And many people live in that illusion that you know what is right for you. And normally, what we think is right doesn't work out at all. And it's because these deeper things that are locked in our subconscious drive the behaviors. And the person who knows what's right for me and who knows what's right for you is the Creator, is God. For God created you to be a certain person. And when you learn how to do that, when we live in the way that God has called us to live, then we encounter that wholeness and health that we are all striving for. Max Lucado said a great thing. He said, the lack of God-centeredness leads to self-centeredness. See, everybody has a center out of which you live your life. And for Christians, it is to be God-centered. And that's hard for us to do because there are all kinds of temptations that try to push us away from that. But we are called to be God-centered. And if you do choose not to be God-centered, then there's going to be some other center in your life. And for many people, that becomes self-centeredness. What is best for me, or what I think is best for me, or my family? And spirituality is all about getting Lyle out of the center of his life. Because as soon as Lyle is in the center of his life, he's going to encounter the most miserable life possible. See, we don't believe that. You don't believe that. You think if you're the center, I think if I'm the center, then life's going to be good. And Max tells us that the healthiest way to live is when you're not in the center of your life, but God is. And if you don't do that, you're going to be eaten up inside as sure as this little seal is going down the hatch. It's not a question of if. It's not a question of if this is going to happen. If self is the center of your life, you are going to be eaten up and not encounter the life that you're called to live. So how do you figure out what's going on inside? And that's the tough part, because some of this stuff is deeper than your personal awareness at this moment. And the easiest way to figure out what's eating me up is to watch my behaviors. And we have what I call wounding behaviors. Wounding behaviors is when I do something that wounds another person or wounds me. Have you ever done something that hurt you? You know, had too many beers, too many fruitcakes, right? And these behaviors, these wounding behaviors, wound either yourself or they wound the people in whose presence you are. And unfortunately, sometimes those of us, you and I, who are in the church, act out our wounding behaviors on other people. And you hurt other people. And the hardest letters I get or the emails I get is when people say, I'm no longer to come to Grace because I've been wounded, I've been hurt, I haven't been received. And it happens. And so if we're going to be the kind of congregation that we want to be, engaging the communities, we have to begin to look at these things that eat me and eat you. Because if you don't, you'll just act out. And you'll wound people by a comment, by a behavior, by something that you do. And it will cause distress in their life. So how does this tie into communion? Well, Jesus is often referred to as the great physician. And there's nothing that Jesus cannot help you wrestle with on an emotional and spiritual and mental level. And one of the gifts that Jesus gave us was the gift of communion. And communion is a tangible symbol that reminds us of the presence of Christ, and with the presence of Christ, his healing power. The story of gospel, where a woman was sick for many, many years, and all she had to do, all she wanted to do, was reach out and touch the hem of his robe. And she believed, if I could just touch the hem, I don't need him to say anything, I don't need him to even know that I'm around, I just need to touch the hem of his robe, and I'll be healed. And she did that, and all of a sudden she was healed. And instantly Jesus felt that touch. And communion is when Jesus comes and touches us with the simple elements of bread and wine and brings healing into our life. And that's why when Jesus said, whenever you do this, remember me. Because in the communion, we encounter the grace of Christ. We encounter the love of Christ for each of us. Independent of what you've done, independent of what's going on, there is this love of Christ. There is forgiveness for mistakes that you have made, mistakes that I have made, and the opportunity to begin again. And compassion and the generosity of Christ. And the generosity of Christ is just simply knowing that no matter what happens, no matter what you do, no matter how many times you do it, you can always come back and meet the Savior and say, loving Christ, will you heal me? And that's why communion is such a powerful sacrament in our church that many people miss. And this morning, I don't want you to miss it. And so, we're going to have an opportunity to have communion this morning and to try to bring greater wholeness and health back to our life. Andrew Wales said this, health is wholeness and balance. an inner resilience that allows you to meet the demands of living without being overwhelmed. That inner resilience for you and I comes from Christ. And it gives us the ability to not be overwhelmed, but to respond with greater wholeness and health. And so in a few moments, you're going to have the opportunity to come and approach and experience the great physician. And as you do that, I want you to think about some of the things that are eating and gnawing in the deep spaces inside of you. And then I want you to bring those to the table and just say, Lord, heal this part of my life. Help me become more whole. And as you taste the bread and the wine and you encounter that physical touch of Christ, it will bring greater wholeness and health to your living. Amen.